Praise God. Well, we're teaching on when will Jesus Christ return from the church, and we're not doing any prediction. There's enough people doing that out there, so we don't have to. But we're looking, one of the things that the Lord wants me to begin to make a lot more emphasis into is the fact about, is looking at, from our standpoint, what has God revealed to us, what has God shown to us concerning the day and time we live in, what does he want us to do now? Because really, that's the most important thing, just looking. We're not just going to stop, stand still, and look for Jesus to return. What's God doing is another thing. I personally believe without a doubt that there's a move of God that is coming on the face of this earth. I don't care if I had anything else in the Bible said, just to know about Jesus himself and what God is like. And really, if you don't know what Jesus is like, then you would know what the Father's like. And if we look at the ministry of Jesus, Jesus said he didn't do anything that the Father didn't do, and he didn't say anything the Father didn't say. In other words, we can see what our Father's like, and I cannot imagine that Jesus is going to come and to take the church and there's not going to be a last major call. I mean, I can't get that. I don't understand people. I don't understand Christians that are almost excited about the judgment that's coming. Because I'll tell you what, judgment's coming. That's gonna. We've looked in the book of Revelation, but there's things coming on this earth. It's one thing as you look at them; it can be a little foreign to you, really, to looking at it in the Word. But it's just a reality. People are going to suffer terrible in this earth. That's why I'm telling people. You know, people have decided. Well, people can get saved during the tribulation. Well, man, if you won't take it on this side, the way it is. It's hard for me that a lot of people are just going to jump on board with all the suffering and things that's going to go on and all that the Antichrist is going to do, killing people and everything, that it's just going to be, oh, yippee, we're going to come to Jesus. I just don't see that. So anyhow, we're looking at this thing. In other words, we must be convinced of what God's doing. I've always been big on the fact of, from the time, I believe it's because from the time I was born again, Lord has always showed me things ahead. He's always showed me things down the road. Now, one of the things that I realized this, that because of the gift of God in me, that is to tell people about it. God many times uses people to speak things into the earth, as he did through the prophet, all the prophets and everybody. But God will put things in the earth. Things get into the earth through man. God don't show up and just talk to everybody and tell everybody. God anoints people, and he works through people, reveals things, and he speaks his word. Now, that's another thing. You need to be convinced yourself, not just because somebody says. I have numbers and numbers of prophecies that have been said over time by different people. There's ones of them that they're good prophecies, but I've never got any kind of conviction that God said it. But let's say it this way. He may have, but he's not revealing it to me. So what God reveals to me is where I can walk, and what God reveals to you is where you can walk. You can't walk where it isn't revealed to you. And so this is one of the things, too, is takes time. And I realize as we started last week, and it was a week before that, but reading things and prophecies with Kenneth Hagin and different ones that we did, and the things we looked at that God had said, over time, it's been a long period of time. These things have been said, and it's pushing out to an end. One of the things that we need to be very careful about is this, is because many times God speaking the future, it is really the future. It's not like, you know, 2 years down the road. And people need to understand this. I've learned, especially over the years, you've got to be really careful about prophecy predicting time, because many times it's a lot further out than you think. I mean, when I got born again, I was only born again days, and the Lord spoke to me about some things about myself in the end times, but I don't feel clear to talk about. I don't know if I'm supposed to or not. Anyhow, but it had to do with me. But, I mean, here I am now in my 75th year of life. Yep. Now, I could have interpreted that as if, you know, that's going to happen soon. Well, it didn't. It's not. So we need to be careful. This is one thing as Christians need to be careful, because I've learned over prophecy is looking into the Old Testament and the prophets. Prophesied for long periods of time, and some of them, it never even came in their lifetime, and yet they were talking this thing way out yonder. They're talking way down the road, and here, I mean, have all this time. I mean, So, you know, we need to be careful. People saying in these things, I was looking today, just reading over some things that I knew from Kenneth Hagin, that I have different things that he said during the time that I was in Bible school. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him, and looking over those things that were said. And, you know, you can look at them as like, and at that time, there was a real move of God going on. And so you get this idea that these things are right there. They're going to, and it can almost seem like it. You need to understand, when you start to see into the Spirit and you get caught over in the Spirit, there's no time there. So everything seems to you to be right there. It's not. With God, there's no time. The time is dealing with us. And I've noticed this a couple times, where Brother Hagin prophesied, and the prophecy spoke about in the Spirit and in time. Part of the prophecy was about in the Spirit, what he was seeing, and the other part the Lord spoke was in time, dealing with time. And I thought about that. I thought, huh. Nobody, I'd never heard anybody ever say that, you know, and God had him say that, and I thought, some things deal with time, but some don't. Some are spoken out there in the Spirit. They may be way yonder. Some things may be speaking in the time that you're in. Those things, one of the things that I found out, you may have to spend time praying about. Last week I started over in a thing dealing with the 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, where God led me to, spoke to me. And see, this is one of those things. Now, these things that he spoke to me is, number one, this is so real to me. It's just like when I get over talking about it, it's like the night it happened. It's just, there's things about in the Spirit when you over there and you just, it's so real. I can go back to when I first got born again, just encounters. It's like, you know, when I say that, and I tell people, well, you know, when the Lord spoke to me in February of 1980 and said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. To me, it's just like that happened yesterday. I can just see myself where I was standing when he said that. I mean, it's just as real of saying those things. When the Lord spoke to me concerning with my family and things, when I asked him, you know, questions in the bedroom, that happened later on that year. To me, to hearing his voice in that room when I was standing in there and what went on, I can see myself standing in there. It's just like it just happened. Like I look back and somebody would say, you know, to me it's like it's just as clear as yesterday. It just seems like it happened like that. Then I turn around and natural things I have struggled to remember. How did that go? But those things are just so real. And that's like with this here, what I'm talking about with this, because I can just remember that night. It was supernatural. Say, well, and I want you to understand this. I didn't make it happen. I don't know of any spiritual thing. I don't want people to, this is where I think people miss it. They think that people get, and sometimes they lead you to believe this, that they get so spiritual that God starts showing them a lot. Sometimes God showed me a lot of things and sometimes they were in areas of my life when I could have been more spiritual. So I don't fall for all this that people do or say, because I don't want anybody to think that these things happen to me because I'm so spiritual. I think they happen because of where God called me to and put me in, and there's things that need to be said about this time. Has nothing to do. I just happen to be the guy that he is using to do this. That's it. Okay. I think it's because you have a certain gift, because I don't want anybody to think that you get so spiritual then God just shows you a lot, because I've run into too many people that God has revealed things to them and showed really supernatural things, and I wouldn't want their life. It amazes me. And God uses people in spite of many times. Mm-hmm. And so you don't get over that thing and looking, because we glorify Jesus Christ. Jesus is the head of the church. The Holy Spirit does what Jesus wants. And it was revealed to me by the Holy Spirit because Jesus wanted it. It's Jesus. It isn't. I didn't make this one up. It came from him. And he's the author of it, not it. So, another, if anybody gets any glory, it's him, because I couldn't have made this happen anyhow. So, so leave it. And with yourself, I have never sought for any kind of experience with God. I've never asked God for any kind of experiences or anything. I do believe that if you walk along in life, you're going to have them. Because when I followed Satan and I was in sorcery, manifestations would happen of spirits and that stuff. And I never did things of per se trying to, I never went through chance and all kind of stuff to do it. But because of studying it, believing in it, you start acting like it's true, stuff starts happening. So don't be surprised God shows up. Because, you know, just because you're walking in the light. It shouldn't be surprising to you. So when looking at this, we went last week in starting beginning, really, and we talked about this fact that really God's people, God's preachers in the earth at that time, or the prophets, were all hidden away. They're all hidden away. We don't have the voice. There's no messages from God. You know, it's like with me, I would think, what would I go through 3.5 years and God wouldn't speak to me? God wouldn't reveal anything to me. I mean, after a while, I would get pretty nervous, you know. But then again, see, they had a mixture of religion and they had a lot of voices from false prophets. The prophets of Baal, you have a lot of them out there. See, they're running around, they're living on here in this thing today. This is one of the reasons why today people don't notice that God has been silent, because they've been hearing voices. Ministers have been hearing voices. They have a God who speaks and they've been listening to it and they think it's God. And God hasn't said things to him. God hasn't told him to do certain things. God hasn't, I was just as today as reading through some of the prophecies and things, and just some of the other things that God has been dealing with me about deceiving spirits and stuff and things going on, is to realize how much out here today people are in the areas of deceived and people not understanding what's going on and not what's happening around them. Looking through these prophecies and thinking, man, because some of them really deal with, those prophecies dealt with the times that we're living in right now, the things that are happening. I mean, they aren't people's favorite things to look at. You know, it's not fun to sit down and say, hey, man, are we missing it? Examine ourselves in it. We have to get over that stuff. You know, we don't want to miss it. But we can't be playing like everything's all right when it's not. I mean, that's totally ridiculous. But anyhow, in dealing with this, God had a plan. Number one, God wants to move among his people. And that's what he showed me in the last days. And see, and I didn't see it as clear as I do today. That's one thing, you move down the road from that prophecy. We're in a time period that I could not see at that time. When this came to me in 1991, there was a real move of the Holy Ghost going on. All kind of things were happening going on in 1991. There was all kind of stuff happening. And with the Lord telling me about and use this and talk to me about what he was going to do to turn his people back, because that had to do with the fire falling. The reason God called, and he explained it to me, the reason he had done what he did. In other words, God had let things completely fall apart for them. That was God allowed them to have the God that they wanted. Now they had a mixture, because when the prophet got everybody up at Mount Carmel, he said to them, he said, is Baal God or is it God God? You know, what are you going to choose? Which one? And the people were silent. Why? Because they had a mixture. And see, that's what we have today. We have a mixture in, they call Christianity, which is not Christianity. It's a mixture. It's a mixture of beliefs. We have things, some of the things that, I mean, I know from coming in back, going through the 1960s and that stuff, the philosophies, you know, and like I was in Vietnam, and I had a guy that I had been friends with and that stuff, and he was over into Buddhism and all kind of stuff, and really dealing with the philosophies of other religions and all stuff. And when I came into Christianity, I started to see this, that how much Eastern philosophies are being taught in Christianity. It's mixed in, as and people accept it. I mean, I'm just saying that spirit-filled people, word churches that accept, and they have stuff in its flavored toward the Eastern religion side. They've allowed in. All kind of stuff. You know, I mean, it's fantasy. One thing is, you'll find out about those religions. I mean, if you take, say, Buddhism, or you look at, say, like you go to India and look at their religions, and you know, you got a million different gods, you know, there's a million different demons. I mean, this is crazy. But, you know, they got all this philosophies, and they're like fantasyful stuff. It's like, you know, this in this life and you hook up into this place, you know, that's really weird. But it's the whole idea that there's this glory. It doesn't fit in with life. You see, it's nothing. Christianity, we know one day we leave and we go to glory, but we need to understand this. Christianity is a life that's lived here. Amen. It's not just looking for something else to happen. It's what it does here. Their religions, I mean, when you think about it, look at the countries and what the countries are like that follow these religions. I mean, I ministered in India, and I'm going to tell you what, if their religion works, I don't want it. Dear God. You know, we told them, I remember being there and we met this young couple from England who were over there. They were on a spiritual trip and they came to India and they were saying about being so spiritual. I said, well, look around. I said, how would you like how their spirituality turns out? If it's so great, how come they're living like that? I said, do you want to live here? Well, they said, well, no. I said, well, I thought the religion, if something produces as so good, it should produce something. See, this is why in America we're seeing decline, because Christianity has declined in the nation. Yeah. And so it can't produce something great. Now, not everybody, there's people that are blessed and are walking, but that ain't the norm. It's because from a Christianity standpoint, you can't have a mixture. Mixture never works, you know. You take some dirty water and you add some clean water to it, you still got dirty water. You can take anything you want with it. And this is what Christianity has done. And so God's looking at his people because this is what's going on here. These people have a mixture. These 10 tribes of Israel no longer go over to the temple. They don't worship over there. The reason they don't, their leaders didn't want them to go over there, so they kept them here and they decide to make a religion that looks like that. That I can keep you here. So one thing is I've learned this one. As soon as I got into pastoring, I realized that most churches are trying to figure out how to keep everybody to themselves. How we can keep people to ourselves. That's their whole goal. You know, I gotta get followers come over here to follow. It's not about sending. It's about keeping. That's key. That's what the whole thing's about. It's about drawing people, and we gotta get these people to ourselves and have our thing here. We gotta do this. And that becomes the whole goal. You know, it isn't about Jesus anymore. After a while, it's about, you know, we gotta make this thing work and that stuff and this thing we got here. And, what's it producing or what's it doing? You know, that's not, does this thing glorify Jesus? That's not, we have a certain Christian, you know, this thing that, house that's built that has a certain look to it, and you have to have this certain look to, and this thing, because then this is what's acceptable to Christianity. You have to have this certain, you know, thing. You're part of this thing that's built. It isn't anymore around Jesus and what makes him happy and what works. It's not that anymore. It's where the people are saying, yeah, we run them through our things and everything is just, you know, wonderful, and it's not wonderful. It's not. And was one thing is we see as people not growing up. So God's interested. God comes along, and the whole point, God sent the prophet. The prophet didn't send the prophet. This is one thing we need to know. We're going to eventually talking about this, because there needs to be a real preparation done in the church world to do the will of God. What does God want? The prophet didn't come out of hiding himself. God sent him. Today, men send themselves. Women, people send themselves. You know, is number one. I said in different ministerial meetings and stuff, and I would hear it said, if you see a need, meet it. In other words, you decide. You decide what you're going to do. You decide. You don't. God, if you see something that needs to be done, you just go do it. Well, that's not the way it works. There's gifts and callings of God. There's things that certain people are supposed to touch and others don't. And when people, this is one of the things as many times as people don't realize, this is why people can't get healed. People, there's all kind of problems and things and stuff that people never get successful about stuff, is because they are touching into areas they are not anointed to do. And they just, you know, I'm going to pick my gift and I'm going to pick my calling and I'm just going to do it because, see, I have this desire to do this. And I've said this numbers of times before about that. If God would say to me, Ed, do you want to do, what would you like to do? What would you really just like to do? And I, well, pastoring wouldn't be my pick. being in this area would not be my pick. It wouldn't be. And see, people, number one, God didn't call you for your talents. I don't care what you're good at. I don't care how, what you're smart. There's things I think I'm much smarter at than I am doing this. But this is what I'm anointed to do. You need to understand that. You know, it's one of the things I've watched people do. They have talents. They sing. They sing well. Well, I'm going to use that talent of the Lord. Did he call you to do that? I will guarantee you, I always see this. The people who follow their talent always take the glory to themselves. Why? If you could do it without God, what proof do you have God's in it anyhow? You might as well take the glory. You see, coming out of the world, I couldn't step into a thing and say, well, my talent, because if I'm going to use my talent, these are the things that I can do. Where's God in this? You know, is God anointing sinners? According to the church today, the talent that you were born with is what God had planned on you using that in the church. You didn't need to come to a day of anointing. You got anointed when you were a sinner. See, the church world's way off base today. They are way off base today. So we come to God. Now, God may use a talent you have. He may. But know that he's telling you. Be confident. Number one, that's your place that you walk in life in faith. That's the place where you know that you are in fellowship and walking with God. That's your place. I don't want to pick my own place. I picked my place for 30 years. It didn't work out. Amen. And I came over here and I found out, that things run differently. That, I know Kenneth Copeland talked about the fact of it. Kenneth Copeland was a singer. Kenneth Copeland, had a record and all that. He sang in nightclubs and did all that. He came over in Christianity. And for years he wanted to sing and he tried to sing, and every time he tried to sing, it would just mess up. And God told him, he said, I didn't anoint you to sing. See, he's going to use, I'm a good singer, so I'm going to use this talent for God. I want to do this thing. Wouldn't work. Wouldn't work. And see, when people say, this is what I'm going to do for Jesus. No, pray and find out what you're supposed to be doing for Jesus. What he wants you to do, and then do it. Look, you want to me the most wonderful thing that I like. Say, from a standpoint of a ministry gift, that I like this fact that it just blesses me. That I could naturally sit down and study, and I could do things, but there's an anointing comes, and it's outside of me. I love that because when I step into that, it's like I'm in a place that you can't. You just can't step. You don't go there. You can't make yourself go there. You can't do that. God takes you there. And it's like, all of a sudden, wisdom comes to you, things you understand. And when I go into that, it's like, to me, it's like, I can always remember this. Kenneth Hagin said, when you get the anointing, he said, it's like a drug. He said, you're going to want it again. And I know what he means. I can't stand, I don't understand how these, I sat at a church with a pastor who didn't have anointing half the time when he got in the pulpit. And I just can't imagine how horrible that had to be. Yeah. You're up there by yourself trying to do the work of God? Ed can't do the work of God without God. You don't do it. Men don't do it. And so God is going to be another. God wants to get involved again with people. Now these people, let me see. They are into serious evil in the stuff that they're doing with Baal worship and all kind of stuff. They're into sick stuff. These are God's anointed people. But just like this, I look down at this and people say, oh, look at America today, look at the world and all the stuff going on. I think, man, this is a wonderful time God would step in and do a revival. Is that what he's doing here? That's exactly what he's... There's been a lot of lousy kings before Ahab. There's been a lot of sin before Ahab came on the scene. And now all of this is going on. Why? Because Israel is running down the road. When I say Israel, I'm not talking about Judah and Benjamin. Those two tribes there, Judah stayed on the map for a time after that. But we need to understand that. Those 10 tribes, they're coming to the end of the road. from a scriptural standpoint, toward the end of these things is sort of what I refer to as sort of toward the last call. God is starting to move into the areas and that stuff. He raises up some people here and that stuff on. But here dealing with this, He's going to call His people back again. He's going to do that. That's why I said when the Lord talked to me and showed this to me, He said, I'm going to show you what's going to happen in the end time. One of the things that I really loved about this, the fact is, His first interest, and you need to know this, God's first interest is to call His people back. We need to understand the church is really sort of His gem in the earth that does what He wants done. Now, God's not going to come down here Himself and do all this stuff. He needs people. And so He puts a call out again. That's why He needs people. And this is what He's doing today. When we look out here and see all the messed up and we see people messed up in churches doing all kind of crazy things, God wants to get them back on track. Now, I'm just going to tell you this. They all ain't going to get on track. But I'll tell you what. God will call to get them back on track. He's going to move to get people back on track. And I'll tell you what, He's going to do something mighty and powerful. We have here, He did something very supernatural to bring His people back. But there's one thing, and there's things that the Lord emphasized out of here. Now, God told the prophet to do the thing with the, He said to him, he asked the people, He said, okay, He said, let's do this. He said, let's get these guys out here, Baal and myself will build altars, cut up the bull sacrifice, put it on the altars. He said, whichever God responds by fire, then this guy, this is the one, it's God. And then he said to the people, okay, the God, in other words, the God that answers by fire. And this is important for us to understand. And God is really emphasized because this is about the end time move of God. The first move of God is fire. We talk about revival. We mix all this stuff together. We mix, you know, the rain, the fire. We all think it's one thing. It's not one thing. The fire comes. The fire comes to God's people. The fire don't come to the world. The world doesn't get the fire. The world needs rain. The rain of the Spirit. That's what brings the fruit in. In other words, that's what brings people to Christ. Fire is what is happens to God's people to preach. So rain can come. Fire comes, and fire comes to do this. And in other words, God, He said, okay, the God who answers by fire. In other words, He's talking, now understand, it would be if we put it today, He's talking to His covenant people at that time, so we could say He's talking to us today if we would put it in our, He'd be talking to church today. He said, okay, if we need to do this, remember, when we need a move of God, and it's going to be among some people. God's going to raise up people, and I'm going to tell you what, fire's going to come. And that fire is going to make an enormous difference on many Christians' lives. And from that fire, there's going to become a lot of salvation. And we have loads of Christians out here. I mean, in our nation, we have millions and millions of people who got born again who are in bad spiritual condition. They ain't no condition to meet Jesus. But this move of God, this fire is just like with these people. And I just want to read to you out of that chapter, starting at verse 37, there's something that said that could help you and I. This is one thing God has really emphasized to me, is where I try to really, I want to live and think like this in this day and time, because we need to be very careful. In past revivals, there's been many ministers who have gotten off base and have taken glory to themselves. They've given themselves big names. They become real popular, and they think that they're above everybody. And that's a very dangerous place to be. Very, very dangerous. But I love the heart here of Elijah. In verse 37, Elijah says this, and it's 1 Kings 18. He says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. See, what's his prayer? God, this is about you. We want them, the focus, Lord God, we want it to be on you, that they know that this is your visiting. It's not me visiting. Well, I came and I'm having this great meeting and I'm the guy, you know, and I just, you know, just, no. We want a visitation from God. And we want to be people that if God uses us, we still point to God. Hey, hold it. This is happening because he's doing it. See, if you know that God sent you, you could do that. But if you think you sent you, you're going to take credit. You think you're... Well, he understands. He understands the reason that he's here is because God sent him. He understands that. He says, he goes, so he turned their hearts back. He said, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stone and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. He said, now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he's God, the Lord, he's God. So, in other words, they did. Did they worship Elijah? No. See, Elijah's pointing the whole time. This is, God's going to visit. God's visiting. This is the, and this is one thing we want. This is a thing that we need to begin to really spend time in prayer about us and about this move of God. We want this move of God, but at the same time, we want God to work on us where we, in humility, do the same thing that happened here. Let me read. Okay. And I should have read back on verse 36. I want to read this. So it said, it came to pass, and he says, the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Isaac, of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He said, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. So in other words, he's not taking credit for anything. And we want to be in that place. We want that in these last day move of God. We need it that people, which I saw in Jesus when I was a young Christian, I would read where the Jesus. Now here, I mean, the most fantastic miracles, all this wonderful stuff's happening to him. And it said they glorified the God of Israel. They didn't glorify him. They glorified the God of Israel. They saw that a man was down here doing this, that men can't do this, that this is God's working. That's what we want people to see. See, I believe people can be so anointed that the Spirit. See, I don't want to be between the Spirit and God that you're sort of waving down, you know, attention to yourself. We don't want to do that. And when I see Elijah here, this is Elijah. Elijah gets before the people and he gets before God. He got this isn't about me. This is about you. This is about you drawing your people back. This is your doing. And see, the fire came, and when the fire came, we see what happened. Look at verse 40, it says, and Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal, do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and executed them there. Now, he didn't personally kill them all, but see, the Lord said to me, this was because these are types of things. You know, we're not going to go to Mount Carmel. We're not going to go out here and burn a sacrifice and God. We need to understand the God of the New Testament and working. He works through people. He reveals miracles through people. He did at that time. But we have the Spirit through us. The fire of God, if you look at it from the New Testament standpoint, really deals in the areas with signs and wonders and things that take place. Now, God wants to move in these areas. I can go after prophecy that have been said about people in the end times. We read the one from Kenneth Hagin, where Kenneth Hagin was the one that talked about communism coming, take over. And he said he saw this ball of fire coming, and it fell on people. See, we want to be in a place where that fire can fall on us. Fire is not going to come and fall on the backslider. The fire will cause the backslider to come back into the kingdom. Get right with God. That's what the Lord told me that night. He said, when the fire falls, he said, my people will put away sin. In other words, see, they didn't have a mix anymore. Baal is not God. Baal ain't God no more. See, he don't equate to being the God of heaven. He don't equate to that anymore. There's not Baal and this God, other God we have here. Now it's like, oh no, the Lord's God. This Lord is Yahweh. He's God. This is the one. So, in other words, the fire comes. It is the purpose of turning God's people back. And that's what the Lord said to me, is concerning do that. See, one of the things is the church has looked to harvest and God's looking to the church. God wants to do something to change the church, to change us. In other words, this is what he wants to do. The fire's not falling so Christians can play in church and have, you know, just have, the fire's falling for this purpose, that we would be able to be used by God. That's the purpose of it. It's fires. In other words, we become active servants, not so we just become nicer Christians. That's not what this purpose is. See, because there's an end time call, there's a harvest, And the people that have the fire will be harvesting. That's what happens. Harvest coming in. So the Lord said to me, he said, this is going to happen. Then we find out that after this took place, if we run on to the end of the chapter, that he goes and he prays for rain. The Bible says in the time of the latter rain, we're supposed to pray for rain. Well, if people say that all the time, well, we should be praying for rain, praying for rain. The church has been praying for rain for 40 years, at least that I know of my Christian walk. And so the rain hasn't come. Why? Because the fire hadn't come yet. We're praying for something because the rain, Elijah didn't pray for rain till the fire fell. And till the latter rain. See, there's a different types. So, this is one of the things God's been emphasizing me. The church needs to get themselves prepared and be praying about this last move. Praying, God, we want this last. We want to move us into position to whatever you want to use us. But I, you know what? I don't care who he uses. God, light somebody up. Throw gas on someone. You know, there's one thing about it. When fire comes, you get close to it, you get caught on fire. I can just tell you this. I have been in meetings and that stuff when fire fell on Christians. And I'll tell you what, I'll just tell you this. I've had it happen to me already in that stuff where the anointing was on me strong. I've had when I was over in Fiji, Minnesota, and I've had it happen. People start to come near me, they'd fall over. See, the fire gets, you can't get around it without, it'll happen. It'll happen to you. Yeah, I was out years ago at Raymond at Winter Bible Seminar, and the power of God fell in the place, and it was really there was hundreds of people out in the parking lot who went out to try to get their cars and leaves, and were laying out in the parking lot. You went out the car, there's bodies all over the parking lot. But in the place and that stuff, they don't. It's one of the things I wanted to get out and leave out of the place, and everybody kind of trying to walk out the door, and there's this guy standing there, and he is just blown away in the spirit. And people kept walking, trying to go out the way. I said, you don't go out that way. He said, you get out there near him, you're dead. You're going to fall. The anointing, it'll get on you. See, people don't, you know, just like in the natural, you know, you have something on you, it might get on somebody else. Well, spiritual things are like that. This is one thing as I learned, you know, if you want to, and this is why Christians have a very hard time today. Christians that don't go to church and go to place, they never get near anything. I'm going to tell you, you can't get this stuff on television.
That's right.
Amen.
You get it from being around. This is one, see, I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. I found it was true. He said, if you're like, want to get hooked, God's using you in a certain way, you might find, I mean, this don't have to be a preacher. God may use you in a certain way or some things like that. You get near a person who has the gifting that you have that you want. You get near them. See, I found this. Like, God told me stay close to Brother Hagin. So Brother Hagin, see, stay close to him. I go to the meetings. You stay close to those things. You stay close to that. It gets on you. After a while, I found out that's getting on me. Well, Randy Greer had anointing. His anointing has stuff. When God said, you sent me to be a leader, stay hanging around that. Because his anointing, there's stuff I want from that anointing. And I've gotten things from that anointing. You don't get it staying home.
That's right.
See, we've lost this whole thing today. The church, the average, even big name minister, has lost it. They don't even know. They don't even know how they got their anointing. They don't know how it worked. They must have stumbled onto it. But they get over in this thing of like, it's all about crowds. It's all about, no, it's getting people anointed. Amen. Stuff happens. Amen. That God can do what he wants. That's what this is about. It's about God doing his will. And so we need to know this. Another thing is like, personally, we want to get hooked up with God personally. There's things that will affect us by personally pushing into him about this stuff. It'll affect us in our life.
That's right.
You can't hang around God without it changing you. As I always tell people this, if you want to stay the same, just don't get around God. You'll just stay the same. Yeah, hey, you will. You'll stay the same. That's why Christian. I tell Christian, you know, you wouldn't just stay a big baby and backslidden Christian. Stay away from God. And that's what they do. They don't get around God. And somebody lay hands on you. What's good to lay hands on an empty head for? It ain't going to do nothing. It don't matter. It's not going to do a thing. If you don't get around, you got to get around God.
Amen.
And so we do that. And this is one of the things we want to do. But he prayed for rain after the fire fell. After the church put away sin, now it is time for the what we people call revival, but it's really not. Revival is what happens with the fire. The church gets revived. The world is dead. Rain don't bring anything dead back to life. From the standpoint of being near fire. We need to understand this. The word goes out. The seed of the word goes. It grows up. It produces fruit. And this is what takes place. The rain comes and it brings the fruit of the earth. James wrote about concerning the coming of the Lord. He said the farmer is waiting for the fruit of the earth. That's what the precious fruit of the earth. Well, that farmer he's speaking of is about the Lord returning. God is waiting for the fruit of the earth. There must be rain to bring that. Elijah prays for rain. That's what he prays for. When the fire falls, then it's rain time. Now God, we want the rain. That's what we want. Yep. We need the rain of the Spirit because when the Word of God's preached, we need the Spirit of God on those seeds so they produce. That's what we want to do. And so, and then at the end of it, it goes to this, that Elijah went down, and really this is the return, and the anointing came on Elijah. He outran Elijah's chariots back to Jezreel. Now, they say that Jezreel, some say it was 17 miles away, some of them say it's about 30 miles away. It's hard to tell because it isn't like, you know, you got on the expressway and drove down to Jezreel. So however the roads and things at that time it may have took to get down to a place, you might have went, have you ever been in mountain areas? And you know, you're going to a place that over the mountain, you know, is 10 miles away and you drive 30 miles to get there. Because to use zigzag all over the place to get through the mountain to get over where that is. Well, it could have been very there. But Elijah, now, you just don't, natural people don't outrun horses and chariots. That don't happen.
That's right.
That don't happen. But he did. It was one thing the Lord said to me. He said, the church will outrun the world. He said, that's what's going to happen. He said, when these events take place, the church will outrun the world. In other words, the anointing of God is on the church. The church is not going to be some haphazard thing that leaves here that is going to be worried about all this junk that they worry about today or anything like that. They're going to be anointed people. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be glorious what God will do. And so we won't be worried about what the world can do because we'll be seeing what our God can do. And so really, this is the thing that God gave to me about this. So when people say to me, do you think we're going to have a revival at the end of times? I said, surely I do. I said, I know the Lord spoke to me. If anybody else doesn't want to believe it, you know, we need to, this is why people need to pray and hook up the Spirit to know, is God saying that or what? See, many, you could take things just because I said it, but you have to know. But yet, how does God work? You know, I've often thought about this. People, you know, question about things, but I found this very interesting. When Kenneth Hagin, the Lord called him up to heaven, and this was back in September 2nd when he gave that prophecy about the end times. Not prophecy, but the vision of the end times. At that same night, he got caught up to heaven. And he got caught up to heaven, and that's when Jesus took his finger and touched the palms of his hands. And anointing came on. He told him, he gave him a healing anointing. And Kenneth Hagin said it was like somebody put a coal of fire in my hands. He said, my hands burnt. He said, they actually hurt. He said, for days and days on end, for weeks on end. He said, and he found out when he would get that anointing would come on him to minister healing, that it was like, he said, it's like I was holding a coal of fire in my hands. It was like they would burn. But he made this statement. This is what the Lord Jesus told him. He said, for this anointing to work, he said, you got to tell people this, that you were called up to heaven. He repeats this. He repeated this over the years. He said, you tell them this, that you must tell them that you got called up to heaven. And I took the finger of my right hand and I touched the palms of both of your hands and gave you a healing anointing. And if they will believe that you saw me and I did that, they will be healed. Now think about that. He didn't quote a scripture to him.
That's right.
He didn't. And you know what Kenneth Hagin said? When people believe, they got healed. You see, we have a very unspiritual church today.
Amen.
The word people are very unspiritual. They've gotten religious. They don't find out if something is true. See, I learned this over the years. When the Lord told me to follow Kenneth Hagin closely, I wasn't following just a man as a teacher. I picked up the spirit of that man. See, know no man after the flesh. Most people, that's the only way they know people. And you know, when I've learned this about him. He would never intentionally ever say anything that wasn't right. He always spoke what he thought was true. He would never say something. He had never made up anything like that. But I learned about that man by walking close, listening to his teaching, you pick up things concerning that man. And see, people need to know this. We need to get close enough with God, we can pick things up in the Spirit, whether or not they're true. So you think, now, here's the whole thing of it is. That great anointing that God gave him, it wouldn't work unless people would believe that. And whenever he would minister, before he would, now this went on for a number of years, and the Lord changed some things about his ministry and how he operated. But that's what he would do. He would tell people. Now here's one thing it is. He got persecuted terrible over that. Who's he to think that God would tell people God said? People wouldn't accept it. Ministers wouldn't accept it. He got so persecuted, he wanted to stop doing it. Jesus called him up to heaven and rebuked him over the thing of not doing it. Because he got persecuted so terribly. Jesus did that. People say they want to hear from God. But you know, it's one thing is hear from God. You're going to have to get close to God to hear from God. You're not going to, you can't walk in the things of the flesh. And that's what I want to get us across to this here tonight. You have a choice whether you believe that this happened to me and that I had this and I got this revelation. You can believe it or not. It's number one, I know that I did. I can personally say this. Don't matter to me if anybody else believes it or not. I don't care. I have no care. I don't care if people criticize and say whatever they do, but I don't even care. I don't care anymore at all. It don't matter to me. It's number one. I'll tell you this. I know as sure as I woke up this morning, this is going to happen.
Amen.
This is what's going to happen. There's a move of God coming. And it's coming to the church first. It's coming. There's a fire going to come to the church and it's going to change believers. You know, we can hook up with God closeness. When that fire comes, we'll probably wonder about ourselves. We're going to wonder about, say, my God, is this real? Is this so? But there is an anointing that's going to come. There's fire coming to the church. And that fire is going to turn the hearts of God's people back to Him again. There's a fire coming. When I think about just studying in the areas of past revivals and listening to revivalists back into the 1700s, 1800s is one thing. Different men talked about this fact in the early 1900s that they talked about in the church world when revivals would start. Revivals start in the church. They don't start in the world. Revivals about Christians. It's about and when I say church, I'm not just saying a church building. Not what I'm talking about is in the body of Christ, the church. But he would say this. They would hold meetings. They found out this is an average between, it would take 9 to 12 weeks to get the church to get themselves straightened out before any major thing started to happen. See, God, in other words, it was about God's people getting straightened out so he could bring his fire on them. And this is one of the things that we need to pray. See, many people want somebody to just come and preach and bring a revival to them. No, revival is about in the church. It's about us. We need revive. You know, the word revival comes from being revived. In other words, somebody needs revived. You know, like you have a person drowning out there and one of them pull them out and they revive them, you know. That's what it is. In other words, people get over the place. You know, you just go out here, you get somebody ran a long distance and they ran a long time and they turn around and fall over from exhaustion. You know, they might need revived. It's that thing. Christians get over and they need revived. You know, you can even walk right with God, and still you get point. Man, God, I need another dip. Man, I need another breath.
Amen.
Yeah. And this reviving is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not the work of men. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. And so, we want God to bring this. And this is why it's dealing in the areas of prayer, is praying, getting into the place of that stuff, of seeking God about this. God, what do I need to do? God, or maybe what do I need to change? Whatever it is. But we don't stay over natural, especially if this. The Lord spoke to me years ago and said concerning praying in other tongues. He said, this last day move of God cannot be brought in by people who don't know how to pray in tongues. That's what he told me. He said, they can't be brought in because he said, mental praying is not going to be able to do this. He said there are things. Now this doesn't mean that people can't pray things out of mental prayers. It can be beneficial. But there's things that cannot be brought in. We cannot, from the natural, we can only pray as far as we know. In tongues, you can pray as far as God knows.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And most of our praying, there's one thing is I found out that Kenneth Hagin's success was the fact that he prayed in tongues. Majority of his praying was prayed in tongues. He prayed in tongues. And I want you to know how important it is. I had a very good, two good close friends that I had at Rhema when in my first year. I was a first year student. They were second year students, but got to know each other really well and really liked them. Very nice guys. The one guy I got to know, and he was Marlon Harbor. You remember Marlon and his wife. But Marlon was a guy. He was a Texas cowboy. He was a cowboy guy. That's what he was, you know. But I really liked him. Great heart. Really loved God. And there was another guy I got to know who I ended up working for a period of time and that stuff. I did some things. I went with Marlon one time. He paid me to drive him up to take his truck and drive it up to pick up an oil rig up in Kansas City, Kansas. And so we drove up there and picked up an oil rig and a drill rig to bring down. He would sell that stuff. He was a guy buy stuff and go sell it someplace else. But he would pray in tongues all the time. And this other friend of mine made a statement one time that says, I don't know, I think he might pray in tongues too much. You know, he gets over there all the time. But Marlon would pray in tongues all the time. He prayed in tongues all the time. And thank God he did. Because I had told the story already about him and his grandson, but his grandson, he graduated from Rhema. He wasn't into full-time preaching, but he would go preach. He'd preach in a lot of these called cowboy churches. He'd go all over through the Midwest up into Montana and those places in Wyoming, and they have what they call cowboy churches. There's these people up there, the ranchers, way out over, and they would have these little churches and in little places, and a small group would meet here and there, and he'd go to these places and preach. But anyhow, his grandson, Marlon loved horses and stuff, and they had some horses and things. He had a small, you know, small ranch thing there. But his grandson got kicked in the head by a horse. He found him. He walked into the stables, and his grandson was laying on a horse that kicked him, and the whole side of his head was crushed in, was pushed in. Marlon went over and just started praying for him. Marlon told God, he told God. In fact, well, we saw the article. They showed us the article the newspaper wrote about what happened with this and this stuff. Because what happened was, Marlon said, he ain't gonna let him die. And anyhow, they turn around, an ambulance come, and they took him to the hospital, and they had no hope for him. He got to the hospital, they were surprised he was still alive, their grandson. I think he was like about 6 years old or something. Five.
Four.
Was he four? Oh, his side of his head was crushed in. It was all pushed in and stuff. And the doctors were just giving them no hope. And him and his wife kept saying, no, he's going to live. He's going to be all right. And they were like, you know, they're in shock. They just won't, they're not accepting this. They know the truth. And no, he's not going to do it. It was like, what was it like the third day or something like that? His head popped out completely and he was completely normal. Thank God he prayed in tongues all those times. Because I'm going to tell you, I'll guarantee you, he would have not had the fortitude to stand. See, this is what happens to people. People are not spiritually ready for what disaster comes. They can't. Look, you have to be stronger in your spirit than whatever's going on in the outside.
Amen. That's right. Yep.
You have to. Because I'm going to tell you, it is not easy naturally to look at your grandson laying there who lives with you and he's laying there and his head's crushed in. I'm going to tell you, the devil will bring every horror story you could ever think of, will bring to you. You have to have it on the inside of you. And as we're praying in tongues, we'll put something on you on the inside that you never had before.
Amen.
People say, I'm praying in tongues, I don't know what I'm praying, who do I care? I don't care. It says, when I'm speaking, not unto men, but unto God. People say, I want to talk to God. Well, you can talk to God all day in other tongues you want to. I do it all the time. Drive down the road in the car. I mean, I drove from our place down to Florida to attend some meetings years ago. Prayed for 12 hours in other tongues. I didn't stop for 12 hours. And you know what?
Amen.
When I got down there, I ended up saving a baby's life.
Amen.
In Nebraska.
Praise God. Amen.
Because of that. Why? You know, God is looking for somebody at the time who's jacked up. Amen. Who could do something.
That's right.
It's not somebody who's running on an empty battery because they're a Christian. And trying to get everybody to pray. They're trying to get enough. Maybe we can get enough from 40 weak batteries to get jacked up. But I did. I drove down there. God told me to get down these meetings down there. And I thought, well, if I'm going down, if I was going to get down there where he wanted me in the meetings, I'm going to have to drive straight down through. And this is 12 hours of driving. I'm going to have to drive down through. I thought, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to pray in tongues. And I just started praying in tongues. And I prayed in tongues and prayed in tongues. And I'll tell you, my jaw was sore. My mouth was sore. And I just kept praying in other tongues. I just prayed in tongues. But I got over to it. I got hooked up so to it. It's almost like I couldn't quit. I just prayed in tongues and prayed in tongues. It just kept going on and on. See, you start off sometimes in the flesh, but then you get over there, and after a while something comes on you, and it happens. But anyhow, this boy was completely healed, but it was very interesting. He never said nothing. I'm 4 years old, and I think he was around six, maybe that's the time, I think he was about six or something like that. They were at the breakfast table one morning talking, because his daughter and the grandson lived with them on this little ranch they had. And they were talking about something, and they made mention about Jesus. And his grandson said, well, I saw Jesus. And they all just like, well, oh, everybody stop. Like, you saw Jesus? Yeah. He said, when the horse kicked me, he said, I went to heaven. And Jesus said, you can't come here now. Your grandpa won't let you.
There you go. Yep. There you go.
That's a little boy said.
Amen.
I know there's a lot of preachers that like to argue on that, but I won't say it about a six-year-old boy because they don't want mamas to give him a whooping. So you call my little boy a liar? This is your last day on earth. You better know Jesus because you're going tonight. But see, this is one of the things. See, we do this. This is why is the things that... there's a lot that has been neglected in the church, and I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, but things have gotten away out of hand for us. We're trying to bring something ourselves, and it's not us. Amen. It must be God.
Amen.
And His will. And there's nothing, we're hooking up with Him. It's not a matter of you and I trying to just go do some special thing or something other. It's about you and I. We're asking God, what is it that you want to do? What is it you want to carry out? What is it that you want to do? God, I want to be changed. And this is one of the things about praying in other tongues. It'll change you.
Amen.
It'll change you. It'll do something to you. And that's what the change that we need is something on the inside. We're trying to bring an acting out of righteousness out of the natural, and it's not. You know, we can try to do the best we can. But let's get an anointing of God operating in us, and it will bring the best out of us. We won't be trying to live a good life. You'll just do it.
Amen.
You do it with the power of God. We talk about grace today, and grace is really taught as weakness today. Grace is about, this is the power of God, and you're sort of worthless, and grace makes you sort of look good. No, that's not grace is the power of God that'll be inside of you, that'll cause you to live beyond what other humans can live. It'll cause you to do what other humans can't do. It'll live a life where you'll stop and say, my God, is this me? Mm. You want to come to that place? Wow.
Amen.
Is this me? Amen. And this is where we want to go to. This is one of the problems today in the church, like with people with healing and that stuff. People are trying to keep doing everything thinking through the natural. They're trying to believe through the natural. It isn't. It's a power on the inside that does in you what don't make any sense on the outside. We want to have some kind of sense when I don't care if I understand it. I don't need to understand miracles. I just want them to happen.
Amen.
That's right.
I don't need to comprehend how everything about how God is. God is phenomenal. He's far beyond what my mind can think
That's
or understand.
Right.
I don't want to put him into a category that I'm trying to... God tried to show me... There's lots of things if he tried to show us, we'd never be able to get or understand.
Yeah.
I mean, he's God. I mean, I can't imagine an eternal being that knows everything. Now, I've run into people who think they know everything. I've met a few. But our God really is. And he's your God. He's your Father.
Amen.
And all he's saying to us, let me blow up through you.
Amen.
That's what he's doing. Let me blow up through you. Let me move you into place, and let me do something to you so I can use you like I want. That's what he's doing. He's not mad at anybody. He's not upset. This thing's coming to pass. These things will happen. You know, I don't want to be the guy who saw it was supposed to happen, but don't flow in it.
Yes, sir.
You see, I at least want to be cooperating with him So somebody's walking in this. Somebody does it. I mean, I don't want it to be a spectator sport. Most of Christianity is spectators. It's no different than people go to football games. They go to church to watch somebody perform or watch this, and they go home. And their lives aren't changed. You know how many people out here, I mean, that their lives walk around saying they're Christians? And you know what? Their lives ain't worth anything.
No.
It's just saying I'm a Christian. Well, man, I got to have more than that.
Amen.
I need God to show up.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father, we just say thank you tonight. I thank you for your great patience for us. I just appreciate it so much and your kindness. I thank you, Lord God, for giving us a vision of your plan, of what you want to do. I appreciate that so much. Hallelujah. Father, we're here tonight. Lord God, we're not trying to act like we know everything to do, but Lord God, you've given us enough that we can see direction we can head. And I just thank you for that. Lord God, our great desire is to hook up with you because, Lord, the Bible's true. Without you, we can do nothing. Truly, Lord God, we can't. Lord God, we want to cooperate with you. We want to be a live wire for you that you can flow through. Lord God, to bless others and to help others. And Lord, I just pray there's people you want to bring to the forefront. There are people who are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers.
Amen.
People that we don't even see them in these offices right now, but you're going to raise them up.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord God, I don't care who you raise up.
Amen.
Just raise them up.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We need them. Lord God, you know your full well yourself. If they don't come forward in these offices and people who, even ones that are here that you've called to, we don't step into our place, you can't do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to cooperate with you. That's our great desire. We want to be a blessing to you, Lord God. Hallelujah. When we get to heaven, we just want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yes, thank you.
Hallelujah. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Hallelujah. So we thank you. Thank you, Father God. Lord, we're just going to keep seeking you because you said if we seek, we find. If we knock, it'd be opened unto you. So we're just going to keep seeking. We're going to look. Lord, we're not going to keep looking just concerning our benefit. But Lord God, there's a benefit for a lost world. There's so many that are on their way to hell. There's so many of your people that are just stumbled and fallen. And Lord God, things need to be turned around. And Lord God, Lord, we're going after you for their benefit.
Amen.
Lord God, we know some things, but there's so many that, Lord God, even the things that they know, they've lost. You said, Lord God, that people, even what was had would be taken from them. Lord, we want to give it back again.
Amen.
We want to come to that place, Lord God, that they walk again with fire. Hallelujah. Lord, that again, hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. He's not just some word that is said. Hallelujah. And so we thank you, Father. Thank you for using us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.